Good evening, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website, which is www.theorganicview.com. If you have any questions or would like to connect with us, you can simply post a question on our wall on Facebook, send a tweet to @TheOrganicView, or contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. This evening's show is brought to you by Eden Foods, the most trusted name in certified organic clean food. Shop online at edenfoods.com and enter the coupon code ORGVIEW, that's ORGVIEW, when prompted during checkout to receive 20% off any regularly priced items, excluding cases. For other promotional offers, please visit theorganicview.com's website. Good evening. As we continue our special series called The Neonicotinoid View, which is the only radio show focused on the impact of neonicotinoids, my special guest co-host, Mr. Tom Theobald, and I will discuss this week's news, and we will also be taking calls from the audience. So if you have a question for us, please call area code 917-932-1068 and press 1 to connect to the switchboard. Please be patient. We have a lot of topics that we need to get through, but we will get to your call. So now, before we begin, I'd like to welcome to the show Tom Theobald. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening, June.
Now, as all of you know that have been listening to the show for the last, how many years? Boy, known this a long time. Tom is a commercial beekeeper and also a dear friend. And we've been talking about the impact of neonicotinoids now for so many years. It amazes me that people still have no idea what's going on, much less how to pronounce the word. Even there are some experts who can't pronounce the word neonicotinoid, but we won't bring that up. And they know who they are. And most importantly, why they are the most toxic chemicals on the planet. Now, the first topic tonight, we want to talk about the announcement where the EPA approves the new 2,4-D herbicide blend, paving the way for controversial GE crops. Now, Tom, if you would elaborate, can you talk a little bit about what this means for the beekeepers?
Well, what the EPA did was approved a pesticide called Enlist Duo, and this would be used on crops, corn and soybeans primarily, but crops that have been genetically engineered to be resistant not only to glyphosate, Roundup, but to 2,4-D and dicamba. So the reason for this new technology is that the overuse of glyphosate has created a whole legion of superweeds that can no longer be killed by Roundup. That's no surprise to anyone who is paying attention, but the answer to the failure of that poison is to slather on two additional poisons.
Now, it's interesting. The use of glyphosate basically is to kill these invasive weeds. Now, glyphosate, also happens to be a chemical that is strong enough to kill milkweed, which is the only plant that the monarch butterfly larva can eat. And considering the fact that the monarch has declined 90% over the last decade, it would be interesting to find out exactly what precautions have been made or what measures they are taking, since they're going to move forward with this, to protect the species.
The answer is obvious. The answer is none. They're not taking any steps.
Well, I did reach
monarch.
I did reach out to the USDA, and I did contact someone there who will get back to me. So, folks, you will have to tune in to next week's show to hear more about that. But the bottom line is the USDA is supporting this, and they made an announcement actually on the 15th, and it says USDA announces measures to help farmers diversify weed control efforts. So, you know, this is on their website, but the bottom line is, Tom, how much of these chemicals can be dumped into the environment where it's just going to wipe out everything?
It already is wiping out everything, and the scientific evidence is emerging rapidly that it's doing just that. What we all feared in the beginning and needed the science to confirm, these chemicals are very, very toxic, and they're killing soil organisms, soil microbes, earthworms, freshwater invertebrates, virtually anything at the lower end of the food chain. And it's, in a sense, euthanizing millions, hundreds of millions of acres of farmland.
Euthanizing is a rather interesting choice to describe this, if I do say
well,
so myself.
Well, I don't know what I would, what I'm saying.
Of course. The interesting thing is that with this application, it just seems as though it's being aggressively pushed, don't you think?
Well, of course, because there are billions of dollars at stake here. But what we can certainly expect that within a few short years, we'll find that the overuse of 2,4-D and dicamba will produce the same effect that the overuse of glyphosate did, and there will be a new legion of resistant weeds, and what sort of bizarre poison will be slathered on then? Is there no end to this?
Well, apparently we're still waiting for EPA to do something that makes sense, which brings me to the next subject, which is a notification by EPA, which is also on their website. There's no date to this, but it says benefits of neonicotinoid seed treatments to soybean production.
Yes, that just came out this afternoon. That's really hot off the presses, and it's an extraordinary change of perspective on the part of the EPA. All of us who have been following the EPA and contesting with the EPA, the general word has been wow. And we're not sure what it means, but the hope is that it will be the precursor of other sensible decisions.
This is just really amazing. Yeah, this is dated actually October 15th, and the subject is benefits of neonicotinoid seed treatments to soybean production, and it's from a couple of folks that signed off on this.
Uh-huh.
This.
I stand corrected, Ben. The one that I had said the 16th. So.
Yeah,
it's very fresh news.
Now, Tom, if this is what they are saying, regardless of how much scientific research has been published that proves the impact. I mean, you have, of course, Dr. Hank Tennekes, the Dutch toxicologist who blew the whistle on neonics back in 2010, but so many different scientists, Professor Dave Goulson, Dr. Menzel in Germany. There's so many different scientists that have done research that have proven what the impact is on insect, well, specifically bees, honeybees, bumblebees. Dr. Tennekes has done more advanced stuff, and you have so many other scientists that I haven't even named. But the bottom line is that the fact that they're still using neonicotinoids in this country is just baffling.
It is. And maybe their change of position on the value of the neonicotinoid seed treatments for soybeans is an indication that they have begun to come to their senses. The science is overwhelming, you know, and we referred to the worldwide assessment of neonicotinoids that reviewed over 800 peer-reviewed studies and came to the conclusion that there is no question that the neonicotinoids are the elephant in the room. They're the primary cause of not only the decline of the honeybee, but many other pollinators, many other life forms.
Yeah, I don't know what is going to happen, but all I do know is that they are preparing for yet another growing season, and this seems just to be par for the course. Now, I guess what's interesting is that when you take a look at what has been done, and which brings me to yet another topic, which is the letter from Congress, which we talked a little bit about last week, and you had said to me, well, you know, June, you're making, maybe you should give them a little time. Well, the White House came out with its statement back in June, and then the statement from different congressional members is dated September 30th, which is 2 weeks ago, but the bottom line is, what's going on? If there's such a need to do something immediately, why is there such a delay? How long is it going to take? I mean, Congress, aren't they due for another vacation?
Hopefully. I'm not aware that the letter from the congressman has even been acknowledged by the EPA. And when I was in the corporate world, the standard that we tried to adhere to was that any kind of important business communication should receive an answer within 3 days, at least an acknowledgement that it had been received. And the congressman sort of opened that issue because they used the word immediately in their letter. And what we were saying is we're going to find out what immediately means to the congressman and the EPA.
Well, apparently immediately must be translated from some foreign language, because last time I checked, it meant
right away.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. That's quite an interesting choice that they made when they worded that statement, but unfortunately they're just not doing anything. EPA seems to just be an agency that continuously does not do its job. I really don't know what it is doing, but when it comes to protecting the bees, they seem to point the fingers at, or they seem to point the responsibility rather at the beekeepers instead of protecting the bees from industry.
What the leading beekeepers in this country have said more than once is that their family has been in the bee business for two generations, three generations, in some cases four generations, and they say, we didn't just suddenly become stupid. We didn't just suddenly become bad beekeepers.
No, that's true, but bottom line is, once again, it goes back to the initial term, colony collapse disorder, which, as you've said numerous times, it's a term that basically gives industry the opportunity to buy time to continue to sell more product.
Yeah, it gives them the opportunity to declare this the great mystery, and it's the colony collapse disorder. Well, it's not a disorder. It's simply one of the symptoms of the effect of these systemic pesticides. And there is collapse, but it's not a disorder. It's not a great mystery that we have to pour endless years and millions of dollars into. It's just one of the symptoms.
Yes, it is indeed one of the symptoms. Now, what's interesting is we have a couple of other subjects that are kind of interesting. For example, we have the Bayer Museum. It's the Bayer Museum of Agriculture High Tech Updates. That's quite interesting. And it celebrated its grand opening on Monday afternoon. Let's see where this place is located. It's quite fascinating that I think it's located in Texas, if I do recall. I just wonder, I would love to actually visit the Bayer Museum. I think that there is a lot to learn about what they're doing and what they basically have in the not-so-distant future.
I'm sure they know our names. I'm surprised that they haven't invited us.
Well, they've invited me to visit their Bayer Bee Care Center in Germany, but I don't think I'm going to be boarding a plane anytime too soon for that. However, this Bayer Museum does sound interesting. Now, it's also on one of the topics that we have for tonight is National Geographic announces a multi-year initiative focusing on food. And I think this is great. Magazine series investigating challenges and solutions to feeding the planet, available as free iPad app, quote, the future of food. App and companion Food by the Numbers video released in honor of World Food Day, which is today, October 16th. And it says, 805 million suffer from hunger. Help change the food system on WFD. And this is what caught my attention. This particular app, it says, quote, the app was made possible through the advertising support of Bayer Crop Science, Cargill, Land O'Lakes, Inc., and United Technologies, supported by a grant from Grace Communications Foundation, the 1772 Foundation, the Christensen Fund, and the Rockefeller Foundation contributed grants in support of the magazine series. So that is quite interesting that this is who is funding this particular project.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with it, so I don't know that I can comment, but this is to a great extent a PR campaign battle. They're making billions from these pesticides and a few hundred thousand invested in public relations is just a business expense for them.
Of course, but it just seems as though lately there are so many different initiatives that are being funded by these particular groups and that were mentioned, and it just makes you wonder, you know, are there any initiatives that are out there that are funded, you know, not by the corporations, but either, you know, by the public or just by money raised by a particular individual that has nothing to do with industry and has no particular gain. Now, we have a caller that has been actually holding now since the beginning, so I just want to take the call. So, hello, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, June. This is Barb Peterson. How you doing?
Hey, Barbara. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys, and yeah, what I've overwhelmingly been impressed with is the fact that there is so much mishmash going on. You know what I mean? I mean mishmash, literally. We've got people that we think are supposedly on our side and, you know, for this particular cause, and then we find out it's been funded by the likes of, you know, Gates or Tides or whatever, and, you know, and you begin to wonder what the heck is going on. And I'm telling you, one of the things that kind of opened my eyes is that Monsanto, there was an article, and it came across my computer screen. Monsanto is investing in going in organic. Okay, now excuse me. Here is a company that poisons whole towns. all right? Anniston, Alabama has not gotten one little bit of acknowledgement that Monsanto had any wrongdoing in the PCB issue there. Monsanto hid their documents. They said, I'm sorry, we're not going to lose $1 in profit because Fisher being, you know, killed off in this stream that we're putting our pollutants in within minutes, and just keep it quiet. They're giving soil to families, and the children are playing in that soil in the yards on their little swings, and the coroner goes, we're burying far too many children in this town. What's going on? That was Monsanto, and now they're in charge of our food supply, and now they're going organic. I'm sorry, they're not going organic. I don't care how much they say they are. I don't care how much they say they're going to feed the world. This is all, you know, PR, you know, like you were saying. This is all PR. It's all publicity. Corporations get brownie points, and they get more funds coming in if they do philanthropic endeavors, just like
Gates. Of course
Gates.
They do. That's tax write-offs, Barbara. That's a tax write-off.
It's an absolute tax write-off. And then other people who unknowingly, they get involved with, they don't look past maybe the front page. They don't do the clicks. They don't do the research. So they don't look past the front page, and they don't see who's actually funding things that, you know, it looks good. Oh, it looks really good. It's all truth. It's that 1% of truth. The 99% of it is all. And at some point in time, they're going to go ahead and take you on down that trail. But in the meantime, you're going, oh, yeah, this is great. Well, I think I'll give to that organization. So you go ahead and give to that organization. And what you find out is that 1% truth has been a funnel to get funds to fund the 99% lie.
Well,
it's a sort of a corporate form of Sunday religion. And there have been many of these large corporations that have purchased positive, you know, organic outfits or outfits that have a very good reputation, and they're buying, they think, some degree of credibility, and with many people, they are.
Absolutely.
Well, Monsanto and Bayer, in their defense, they do give a lot of money to the agricultural community. I'm not saying I'm their fan, but you would be surprised how many communities look forward to that money. And unfortunately,
yeah,
Barbara, unfortunately, until people take a stand, that's going to continue. Basically, it's going to be problems are working in conjunction with the people trying to, or people that claim to want to solve the problems. And it's so intertwined. How do you clear it up? I mean, look at the organic industry. You have so many companies that were really wonderful that did that made some wonderful products, and you could see that the quality has changed. You could see that it's not the same. It's not the same as it was in the beginning. Wasn't there a company that in the middle of the night they basically changed the label, and then consumers are just like, "Hey, wait a second, this isn't organic anymore." I mean,
I believe that was Silk.
Yeah. And, well, I don't buy it anymore, so I kind of have put that out of my mind. But the bottom line is that it's happening with so many different industries, not just with the organic industry, but this seems to be par for the course for any major sector. So what do we do? Now, what do we do?
No, I'm going to kind of throw in my opinion. In my opinion, it's a matter of integrity. And
Who really cares about integrity anymore?
I care about integrity. A lot of people care about integrity, but they've been fooled.
Too.
They've been duped. They've got the wool pulled over their eyes. They've got a fancy banner up, you know, a fancy big website, you know, a whole lot of bucks for advertising, and then you see labels that say natural, and natural means absolutely nothing. You see a label with a beautiful farm and a milkmaid and all that, and oh, yeah, but the milk's been pasteurized to the point where it's inedible, and it'll give you some sort of disease, and you have to go to the doctor and go ahead and get one of their chemical pills. You know, it's so mishmashed. Even the organic label, my first choice in food is local. My first choice is to go down. If I can't grow it myself or I haven't grown it myself, I'll go down to the neighbor, and she does a beautiful organic garden. And I can go ahead and pick from just about anything she has, and she does an absolutely wonderful job, and she's reasonably priced. She doesn't use insecticides. That's my first choice. My second choice is I'll go to the organic section and hope that the label that I buy hasn't been sold out to a big conglomerate who, quite frankly, could care less if they're testing for GMOs or not. And, you know, you can't be assured. You really can't. They're being sold out just by the dozens. It's money, 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 money. That's all it's about at this point, unless you have integrity. If you have integrity, then I want to deal with you. If you don't have integrity, I'm going to stay about as far away from you as I possibly can.
Well, what's going to be interesting is to see, and your opinion definitely matters. I agree with you 100%, Barbara. But at the end of the day, what is it going to take for EPA to do what it needs to do to not only protect the beekeepers, but to, or the bees, should I say, but all species?
Well, their basic responsibility, their charter, is to protect mankind and the environment from unreasonable risk. That's their basic charter. And instead, they've become agents of the corporations. They're not protecting, at least in the case of the beekeepers and human health. They seem to be doing just the opposite. And their recent approval of the pesticide that would allow for dramatically increased usage of 2,4-D is an example of their failure.
Wow. Absolutely. I mean, I get my hay from an old-time farmer, and he's in his 70s, and he farms an oat pea mix. The only problem that he has is he has this Canadian thistle that grows up in there. So he will not use glyphosate by any stretch of the imagination, but he does have to use Spot. This is what, you know, because he's only one guy, so he uses Spot 2,4-D. Now, imagine if there was resistance, all right? I come from an animal husbandry perspective, okay? I used to use chemical wormers on my horses, and I know for a fact that it's a racket because there is absolutely no way that you can't build resistance by continually using the same chemicals. Even if you rotate them, you're using the same, going from the same four classes of chemicals now. And that's it. And each time, the brand doesn't matter. If it's a particular class of chemicals, the worms will build a resistance. They touted Zemectrin, you know, which is ivermectin, as the big new thing was going to cure everything, no resistance to it. Well, it only took a few years for that to bite the dust. Now it's the cheapest wormer you can buy. Everything else has gone up, and that has gone way down because the resistance has built up. So you can't tell me that using all these pesticides and now adding the 2,4-D into the mix isn't going to build 2,4-D resistance. And now what are we going to have?
Of course it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're going to have fields of hay that have nothing but weeds in it. You can't get rid of the weeds. We're going to have all this, and then what's going to happen? You have to go back to the basics. You have to go back. If the solution, in my opinion, is to get rid of the monoculture, get rid of all of this chemical farming, go back to building the soil, building the immunity in the plants, and that's so that they can ward off the pests, starting to do something a little bit intelligent like planting crops that actually help each other ward off pests. That makes sense.
Well, unfortunately, they just keep dumping chemical after chemical after chemical. And, I mean, look at the monarch population. Look at what the beekeepers are experiencing after when they plant the corn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not going to get any better.
I think Barbara raised
the real question, and that is what comes after 2,4-D and dicamba? It's going to have to be something even worse than them. And it will be a few short years, and we'll have another legion of resistant weeds, and who knows what kind of bizarre poison they'll start pouring on the land.
Or who knows if we won't have to start...
Yeah, can't take it.
Who knows if we won't start hand-pollinating because the bees just can't survive. I mean, it's...
Well, that just isn't... It just isn't possible.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I know that. But the bottom line is that when you kill off everything, what else are you going to do? You're going to import bees from other countries to come in to pollinate the crops, and then they're going to die off. People aren't going to want to come here.
It's really a destruction.
It really is disastrous, and it just doesn't seem to have any sunlight at the end of this dark, stormy cloud of a storm, whatever you want to call it. It's just really awful.
It's pockets of people. You know, I look for the pockets of people that are trying to do good. It's like, okay, I'm warming my animals with diatomaceous earth. Okay, I've decided that is the way to go. They're healthier, they're happier, they love their warmer. Win-win situation, then there is absolutely no resistance. There are solutions, and people that actually care and that have integrity have to start using them and just start walling ourselves off from this flood of insanity. You know, I had neighbors move in, and they've got GMO bags of GMO corn flying all over the place. You know, they don't care. They just go and they trust, and they go to the feed store. Oh, well, it's good. Who cares, you know? And they, oh, GMO, what's that? And then they just feed whatever they, you know, and people are going to do that, and people are going to continue to do that. The EPA is not, in my opinion, isn't going to do a darn thing about it because they're bought and paid for. Our entire government,
Part of the answer is programs just like this, the discussion. I've said a number of times they count on our ignorance, and we have to deprive them of that option.
Well,
and
people aren't...
These open discussions help people to understand what's going on.
I agree with you, Tom, but the thing is that the average person does not have a clue what this means, much less what these chemicals do. They have no idea how it affects the bees, how it affects other species, how this affects human health. It doesn't matter. I mean, the whole month of October has been devoted to breast cancer awareness. However, these chemicals have such an impact on human health, but that's not even part of the discussion.
No, it's been the brainwashing. We've been brainwashed. Chemicals are good for us. Chemicals are good for us. Chemicals make life easier. Chemicals make our food cheaper. Yeah, they sure do, but they sure do make the doctors richer too, don't they?
Yes.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for your call. I just want to say, thank you for all the information that you've shared with us. And Tom, thank you also for participating in tonight's show. We're actually out of time. But we will continue, again, discussing these very issues. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This has been Jeannie Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great evening, everyone.